8th. 6:60. Chris Mack, Matthew Walters in the studio after 8 o'clock this morning. Look forward to the catch-up. Meantime, I got some mail yesterday through the New Zealand Herald. It's an open letter from Oliver Hartwich of the New Zealand Initiative, taking aim at some of my views on housing. Well worth reading, by the way, but let's get what he's on about now. Oliver Hartwich is with us. Very good morning to you.
Good morning, Mike.
I say no. Well, see, here's what I argue. It's no policy. You say they're bad policy. So I'm looking at the housing debate the wrong way, you think.
Yes, I think because what I picked up from your commentary is you seem to believe that it's inevitable that house prices will always go up in the long run. And you also say that politicians have no way of calming down the housing market. And I think there's a different way of looking at it. The way I look at the housing market, it is one of the giant policy disasters of the last decades in New Zealand because we have created a completely dysfunctional, unaffordable housing market, and it was created because of policy mistakes. And if you compare our housing market around the world, just compare it to the likes of Germany and Switzerland or parts of America, you can say that there is no law of nature that house prices have to go up and up and up. So you can keep house prices stable if you've got the right policies in place. Our politicians over decades have wrecked the housing market, and I think we should stop making apologies for that.
You are, of course, right. You're factually correct, but here's my point of view. You seem to think that prices going up is bad. Why?
Because it doesn't matter whether a house worth 100,000, a million, or 10 million. In the end, it yields exactly the same service to the people living in them. And so, therefore, rising house prices, they can make you feel richer. And some people get rich on the back of a buoyant property market. I don't dispute that. It's just that the country, at a country level, we cannot get richer by rising house prices because houses are basically unproductive. We would be getting a lot richer if the same money that we currently spend in housing went into more productive assets, but we're not doing that. And unfortunately, it has a lot of side effects, this dysfunctional housing market. It limits labor mobility, for example. So if you're ambitious, qualified, you couldn't potentially move to a city where there are better job prospects if you can't afford a home there. So it limits your mobility. It has effects on the quality of the housing market as well, because when a housing market becomes dysfunctional, unaffordable, there will always be people desperate enough to buy really crappy, poorly insulated, poorly designed housing. And I think we've got a problem in this country with our housing stock. And the reason being is that the houses are so expensive that for some people, really, price is the only concern. They can't afford to go for quality. They can't afford to go for insulation. So we're creating all sorts of social, environmental, and economic problems as a result of our dysfunctional housing market. So my argument is actually we shouldn't put up with that.
Sure. So when you say it's dysfunctional, is it to the extent that for some people it's too expensive? Quite correct. But you look at the number of people or first-time buyers in the market at the moment, it's never been higher. But rightly or wrongly, people are prepared to pay the price, and that's a personal choice, isn't it?
Well, the reason why there are so many people trying to rush into the housing market now is because they fear that if they're not doing it now, in 2 or 3 years' time, house prices will have moved so far that it's too late. So it's fear of missing out. You fear that if you're a first-time buyer, you may only be 20 or 21, but if you don't get into the housing market now, you've basically missed the boat and you will never, ever be able to afford your home in the future. Mm. And that's why people are rushing in, but it's not a sign of a healthy housing market.
So when you talk about, you're right to the extent that you could take some of the money out of the housing market and put it into more productive areas, and that's been argued in this country for years. Where I come from is reality versus theory. In theory, that's true. In reality, it isn't going to happen because it hasn't happened and it won't happen now. And that's just a simple truth of life. You may not like it, but it's true.
Of course it's true. It is true because you have completely wrecked the housing market. Therefore, the housing market promises fantastic yields in the future. And so anyone not investing in property would be mad. Of course you're doing that, but it's just not healthy. And I think if we're creating this cult of property ownership, of rising house prices, we are letting politicians off the hook because it's the politicians that have actually wrecked this housing market with things like the Resource Management Act, with lack of infrastructure finance, and I think we should stop making excuses for them.
To happen, Oliver, you would have to want people to have that happen, and my argument, at least in part, is I don't think people do. I think people are obsessed, once again, rightly or wrongly, with housing. We love housing. We're weird in this part of the world. We will die for a house, and it is what it is.
Yes, but I think it's not different in other parts of the world. I mean, look at the U.S. There are parts of the U.S., take Atlanta, take Houston, where you can buy a mansion, basically, for the New Zealand equivalent of $600,000 or $700,000. You go to one of these American real estate websites and have a look what an ordinary family home in New Zealand would get you in America, and you get a palace, basically. Mm. So if you put that to the people and if you explain, well, you've got the choice. You can feel richer on paper just because your property has gone up recently, or you can live in a five-bedroom mansion with a double garage and a massive backyard. I think people would probably go for the latter.
Well, they would, and they can. It's called Oamaru, but they don't because they want to live in Auckland.
Correct, but the mansion I'm talking about is actually not in Oamaru, it's in Atlanta. It's one of the biggest cities in America. It's one of the fastest growing cities. I mean, it puts, with its growth, it puts Auckland to shame, but the Americans are dealing with it and we are not.
Do you think, having said what you've said, do you think that anything that you say will happen though? As right as you think you are, do you think it will come to pass in this country?
Yes, eventually it will, because I've been on this campaign in New Zealand now for 8 years, and actually I've been working on housing, planning, urban economics issues for 15 years, first in Britain, then in Australia, now here. I think the more you explain this, the better your chances of actually changing the system. I've had plenty of conversations with politicians, with real estate experts, with journalists, and I'm trying to turn the market around from this perception that rising house prices are a good thing. And that's why I wrote you that letter, because I think I really enjoy listening to you. I enjoy listening to you even when I disagree with you. But I think on that one, you probably got it slightly wrong.
Good on you, Ola. Ola, always good to have you on the program. He ends, go to the Hill and read the letter. He ends on, I'm always happy to discuss house prices. I'd be even happier to do it over a good bottle of wine. The value of our houses has gone up so much we can afford it. Keep up the good work. Good letter. Good conversation, 7:45.